Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That actually give a damn about independence. Most people today, I don't know if it's most of them, but a lot of people today, 4 out of 10, according to one survey, don't even know what the point of this holiday is. But we're here to remind you that it is about independence, which is to say declaring independence from tyrants. They declared independence from the tyrant king in Great Britain back in the day, and it's about time that we declared independence from the tyrants in Washington, D.C. It's time for this to happen again. In fact, it'd be better to get out from underneath D.C. now rather than whenever it is that it all comes crashing down economically. And you can get out from them economically, as we were discussing earlier, by protecting yourself, by looking at getting into cryptocurrency or precious metals. So there are ways sort of out, but not completely out, where you can protect your own wealth or your family's wealth. But then to actually get out from underneath the political apparatus would be an ideal situation as well. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Jay.
And Mark.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's still there. Yeah, he's on Costa Rica tonight.
Another thing we could add to how you can be independent is, instead of watching Netflix, instead of, you know, just scrolling through TikTok or YouTube or Facebook, learn a skill. Exercise that skill. Whatever it is. You know, blacksmithing is something I like teaching kids to do. It's a fun thing. It's a confidence builder. But just learn a skill and become valuable. And, like, just think how you know, if New Hampshire was able to do direct trading with, say, Vladimir Putin, right, or a Gazprom, is that what the Russian oil company is called? Like, we can just,
I think so, yeah.
So New Hampshire's not, because we got lots of granite to drill through, and we're not, like, really in a problem. I don't know, maybe there is oil in New Hampshire, I'm not sure, but there's definitely a bunch of oil out west.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, we could buy, you know, cheap energy if we wanted to. In fact, I really like the idea of having a, you know, several of these, you know, very safe nuclear power plants. I think they're called, like, thorium reactors. Mm-hmm. I'm not really so sure, but I'm not.
I'll take any nuclear power. When you compare the amount of deaths that have occurred since Three Mile Island with from oil, you know, just the petroleum, hydrocarbons,
sure,
hydrocarbons generally, versus all the deaths that have occurred from nuclear power. Nuclear power is by far the safest thing. Even old, antiquated nuclear power,
yeah,
forget the meltdown-proof thorium reactors,
right,
which are still experimental, but will likely be some amazing technology.
Yeah,
the
new tech nuclear stuff is really exciting from what we've heard.
Yeah, that's what I really like. My father-in-law, I spent a little time with him last week, and he worked in the nuclear power plant he worked in the nuclear power plants for pretty much his entire engineering career. Mm-hmm. And but he worked over at that one in Portsmouth for a long time. I forget what that one's called. That's where he put over 20 years in there. And yeah, he just loves the idea of you know, a thorium reactor. And in fact, he's one of these guys. We were somewhere talking about a nuclear power plant, and some lady says to him, "Would you like a nuclear power plant in your backyard?" And he said,
"Absolutely."
Actually, he goes, "You could put it right underneath my bed if you wanted to."
Yeah. Well, again, the thorium ones can't be melted down. And they've come up with these little mini power plants that can power a whole neighborhood from, like, a relatively small little container, essentially, as I understand it. So, yeah, you could pop one of those things out in the side of your house right next to your air conditioner or whatever it is that's out there, and, you know, sell power to your neighbors if you wanted to for God knows how long. You know, Jay, you're talking about learning a skill. I know that a couple weeks ago you were over at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is something we spent a lot of time talking about. Our co-host Aria DiMezzo, before she went to prison, was doing live broadcasts or recorded broadcasts there from the campground.
And I don't think she had a chance to talk to you as far as an interview is concerned, but you were probably really busy over there at Man Camp, which is something you've been telling our listeners about here. You did some fundraising for it to try to teach not just kids, but also adults, anybody who comes to Man Camp, to help them learn a skill, something that they, you know, didn't already know about, like how to, what were you doing over there?
So basically, I was just teaching kids how to forge iron. So I had a propane forge set up. Basically, it's all my stuff when I was horseshoeing. So all the equipment I had there, I've actually had for nearly 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
But when I was like, you know, from the time I was 12 to the time I was about 25, one of my things I did was put shoes on horses. So when I was 21 years old or 22 years old, I bought out a guy all of his equipment, the forge, the anvil, a lot of the stuff that I had there. Mm-hmm. So I had that set up. And then I made these smaller anvils that I made. So I didn't make a small anvil. So I had got a small anvil, and we set that up just on a like a 12-inch tall stump, you know, from just a piece of firewood that you would split. Instead of, you know, splitting it, we just left it the round. And I had the little anvil on there. So, you know, like 5- and 6-year-old kids could, you know, be at their waist height. In fact, my kids were banging on it the whole time that we weren't operating man camp. And because my kids are a little too small to be playing with, you know, molten hot metal and, yeah, you know, swinging it around. I let them actually take the hammer and just bang on cold iron and put safety glasses on. They like that. But we make coat hook hangers. We made some other ornamental art, some more functional art, a bunch of like a squirrel cooker. It was one of the things. It's basically like a big long fork that you make out of, you know, twisting, you know, wire steel together, 3/16 rod. I set up like a custom anvil setup for these young kids to bang on. I had different size hammers. And so I had a 6-year-old. His name's Warner. He did a fantastic job. He made his own coat hook. He was could really tell a lot about the parenting of these kids and sort of, you know, how they're brought up, just kind of by working with them. And his parents are doing a fantastic job with him, because he just followed all the directions really good. He was really focused on it. But this is also a family. They're homeschoolers. The kids don't use internet devices. And so he made a coat hook. And actually, he did it in about 30 minutes, which was pretty good. And then I had another kid that did a project, and he had a TikTok attention span, and you know, I had to keep him going, get him back on track every time as we were, you know, forging this project together. And his dad was doing it with him, but the kid, he did a good job. Mm-hmm. He was really into it, and I just had to keep on redirecting him, you know, kind of like, you know what, you know, I, Mark and Ian, both of you guys have had many dogs, and there are dogs that for example, as soon as they see a squirrel, you know, they're all interested in that squirrel, and you got to yell at them or get them back. I didn't have to yell at this kid. I'm like, nope, just keep on hammering, buddy. Okay, stop, you know, and we're going to heat it up again. And so what was really it was fun. So I definitely get a dopamine hit off of building confidence in young people. And that's kind of the whole thing with Man Camp, is to reinstate confidence in mankind. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, kids were doing 200 years ago out, you know, in rural America, you know, every homestead had a forge, had an anvil, had a way to manipulate some metal, because you needed this stuff. So, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old kids, they were helping out in a blacksmith shop. They were doing whatever. And, you know, that helped make a confident generation that really built this country to be, you know, what it became, when it was great. And there was, you know, I should have had the numbers all written down, but there was probably 20 kids that did it that were, say,
over the week?
Yeah, over the week that were under 18, I'm going to guess. And there was, 10 or 15, you know, adults that, you know, made some Man Camp projects. For example, Derek Slopey of Agoras Hosting, who was another guy who was a sponsor of Man Camp. He donated some tools. He donated some money, some equipment. You know, he made himself a cool project, as, you know, as there wasn't any young kids around. And actually, he helped with a lot of kids. And Ernest Hancock helped out also. Ernest was real good. And, you know, and Ernie and Derek, these guys are kind of like, pretty independent guys anyways. They got a lot of confidence. They sort of have a lot of skills. They're, you know, sure, they've been entrepreneurs their entire lives.
This wasn't their first time at Man Camp either.
No, this wasn't their first time, but it was handy having those guys help out. Taryn Lupo, you know, a lot of people here know Taryn Lupo. He's a chiropractor up there at Rogers Campground. Great guy.
Yeah, he lives there part-time now.
Yeah, lives there part-time, and then he's got a homestead somewhere in the Carolinas. He's in the wintertime. But Taryn Lupo made a project, and actually my brother Josh jumped in and helped him out with that. And my brother Josh is a really good blacksmith. He actually used to do these blacksmithing competitions all the time, but it was based around horseshoeing. So these guys would make their horseshoes from a piece of, you know, just steel stock, piece of bar stock, you know, custom-made horseshoes. So Josh still does that as part of his career. He makes custom shoes a lot. So he basically fires up a forge, you know, 5 days a week and, you know, hammers out, you know, some kind of iron. And he's a really good bladesmith. So him and Taryn made a pretty awesome project. The girl that did all of our babysitting this year was really good, 16-year-old girl. Her name's Zoe. And she is working on becoming an entrepreneur. She is an entrepreneur, and she makes jewelry.
This isn't little Zoe from the pizza.
No. Okay. I don't even know Zoe's last name.
Okay, all right.
But anyways, so at the end of it all, she babysat my kids and did a great job with them, took them to the playground, which was real handy. And at the end of it all, she wanted to make a bunch of display hooks. So, you know, I got her going on making display hooks just out of, you know, some stock that we had. And you can make anything you want out of metal, you know, for, like, display hooks, all kinds of stuff. And so these were display hooks to hang, like, you know, her jewelry and stuff she sells, you know, at her vending setup. So she made, I don't know, 7 to 10 different hooks and kind of made them all different styles and all different ways and had a good time doing it. And
cool.
And but a lot of moms were very intimidated by letting their little boy come over.
Overprotective.
They were just intimidated. I wouldn't say overprotective because every kid almost, well, half the kids that were interested in it definitely got to do it.
Okay.
So I didn't run Man Camp that many hours. I basically ran it from, like, you know, 1 o'clock till like 4 o'clock, or like 2 o'clock till about 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, because, you know, my son takes a nap and about midday, and we didn't want to be out there banging, right outside the camper while he's trying to take a nap. And life's a lot easier when the baby can take a nap, you know, a good nap, you know, come evening and afternoon. So we didn't get quite as many hours as, I would have.
Were you able to bring in the professionals that you'd wanted to hire? You wanted to bring some people in?
Well, not really, but sort of. So my brother Josh, absolutely, he's a professional.
Sure.
So he was real busy. He wasn't like looking to be hired to do anything, but he just jumped in and helped out Taryn with his project because it was something my brother was interested in, you know, that Taryn was making. Yeah. And then he also helped us like get set up. He also helped me break the situation down. My other brother, Christopher, couldn't make it. It's probably a good thing because I did put out, I offered to pay $1,000 to my one brother, Christopher, to just get him up there and do it. But he was in the middle of making hay. He took on a bunch of hay ground and got a bunch of hay equipment. So he was making hay. He couldn't come. Basically, the money that got donated, pretty much basically all of it got burnt right up just in expenses.
Wow. Well, and what, like the metal or?
So I bought some metal. I bought some safety gear. I bought some tools. I hired a babysitter. I had to go back down and get another trailer, you know, full of all the equipment and gear. So like that was just $100 in fuel, basically round trip from my place to Rogers, you know, then got to go back up, get the trailer, bring it back. And then also there was, you know, paying for the campground, you know, all that stuff adds up. And, you know, the reason I was, you know, trying to put a $5,000, you know, trying to get $5,000 was because I was, you know, hopeful to, after everything, have money left over to pay me for, you know, just my time in doing it. Because what I've been doing the last 3 years at Pork Fest is selling beef that I raise. Well, pork and beef that either I raise or Bardo Farm raises. This year I brought some of the equipment. I was going to do breakfast because breakfast has been popular. But I ended up not even setting up the cooking equipment.
Oh,
I just wouldn't have any time. You know, I just did the mornings with my kids. We'd go to the playground. I'd just go run around and do stuff. And then and usually in the mornings I'm doing farming chores with my kids anyways. But like the last couple of years I was able to, after all the expenses of Pork Fest with the meat, I was basically able to pay half of the property tax. My property
tax. Your property tax at your house.
Yeah, half of the property tax just off selling the meat. So, you know, I think last year I did like $6,000 or $7,000 total.
But last year that was what you were focused on. You didn't have man camp.
Right, didn't have man camp. And you really can't do both of them.
Mm.
So basically it's like, you know,
So selling the meat did better than the man camp did.
But dollars-wise.
Dollars-wise.
Yeah, but selling the meat didn't raise anyone's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't give kids cool ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't, you know, nobody... I mean, actually, a lot of people were disappointed that I wasn't selling cooking food.
I bet.
There's a lot of families sustainably raised meat that... You know, I mean, it's hard to quantify the value of that, but I can tell you I served a lot of families in New Hampshire for some years with humanely raised meat, and, you know, you can't put a number on it.
Right.
Although everybody did, and I did too.
So the bottom line is I got so much positive feedback and text messages, pictures. In fact, I got another message yesterday from a guy. He says, the coat hook my son made still hasn't been mounted because he just wants to bring it everywhere to show everyone. He's been showing
cool.
it to his friends, to his grandmother,
that's
you know,
nice.
Everyone that comes around. And he's like, what a confidence builder, you know, this was in my son. Another guy, he was one of the first guys to come and do it with his son. He came back around on Sunday before he left, and he's like, "Hey, man, I really want to thank you a lot." And he gave me $50.
Okay, all right.
And I said, "I want to thank you a lot. This is really awesome. This forging exercise, this blacksmithing that you're doing here, has caused these kids to level up their character in the game we call life." And I said, yep, you know what my dad called that? My dad called it manning up. My dad had two terms. There was cowboy up. You just need to cowboy up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the cowboy up is like when you're going to get on that horse that's like snorting and swishing his tail and, you know, probably going to buck you off. That's a cowboy up situation. And then there was like manning up was just, it had to do it no matter what. You don't have to cowboy up, but you have to man up.
Okay.
And, you know, was sort of the thing. So, but yeah, and so anyways, the moms that were concerned. So the moms were definitely watching some of these kids and they're like concerned. And I'm like, if you don't think your son can handle this, you know, you get right in here and help out too.
Uh-huh.
So they did. A couple of moms were just swinging hammers and doing it and having a great job. In fact, one of the first people who did man camp was like a 38-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have any kids. But, you know, as soon as she swung that hammer two or three times, and she had it and was doing it really well, and, you know, but she's like, oh, yeah. She goes, my grandfather taught me how to swing a hammer. And so another thing I did at man camp for the little kids that couldn't do the hot forging is I just let them bang nails into some wood I had.
Okay.
So we had the hammers and we had some nails. And I also let them use my impact driver screw gun thing. So they were just running screws into like the block of wood that the anvil was on, and they were banging nails into it. I'm just letting them sink nails into it. And one little girl comes over. Her name's Molly. She's five. And Molly and my daughter Cypress are buddies. And Molly's like, we can play with adult tools. I'm like, yes, you can. She's like, I'm going to hang out over here all the time. And she's just, you know, taking a hammer, banging the anvil, and she's actually taking screws that you screw in, and she starts banging them in the wood, which is fine. I don't care, you know. And I'm like, you guys can do this, but you got to wear safety glasses. So I bought, like, a bunch of child-sized safety glasses, and I bought small safety glasses. So, and I bought, like, small gloves, so there's plenty of gloves. I bought a bunch of aprons, and I got way too many aprons. So I bought aprons and then the order gets like kicked back off Amazon or it says, oh, we're going to have a delay. And I'm like, you know, I was trying to like June 2nd, I bought these aprons cause I wanted to have like things ordered by my goal was June 1st. And, so by the time I get the money converted from crypto into Amazon, gift card, which I did like seven different ways to make it happen, which was interesting. But anyways, they're like, oh, this isn't going to be here until, you know, July 10th. And, you know, if you need it sooner, or, you know, you can choose similar products from these guys. So I went and, I guess I didn't cancel that order. I thought I did. And so I went and I ordered like similar products from other guys that, and I did get from other vendors on Amazon. They were a little more money. But it showed up before Pork Fest, so I had it. But when I got home, I had a bunch more because I forgot to like, cancel the order.
One came through.
There was, you know, was there when I got home. But some things about Man Camp is the moms were sort of relieved after they saw other little kids doing it. And then there was one boy; he was 12, and I think he played. I think he was into video games. But his mom was like very concerned about him getting hurt, and she was probably a hover mom. And
helicopter parent.
Yeah. But she let him. Actually, as soon as he started doing it, she walked away. So
okay,
she wasn't
good.
That helicopter.
All right, that's not bad.
She's like, "Can I leave now?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, he's cool." And but they watched the 6-year old boy Warner just like crank out. Like Warner did such a good job. I wish I had video of him doing it. But I told him he could do man camp like 3 days before he actually got to do it. And every day he's like, "Mom, can I go do man camp today?" "No, you can't. That's going to be on Thursday," or whatever day he was doing man camp. Yeah. We kind of scheduled his. And but after that mom, after they saw the 6-year old boy make this and just handling everything, and I had him handling the tongs, and I was using vice grips too to hold the hot stuff so the kids could just hold on to the vice grip and not, because tongs you have to like squeeze them with your hand, is a little more of a challenge. But that 6-year old, he cranked it out and did awesome. The mom was like, "Oh, my 12-year old can do that." But the 12-year old boy, he was worn out halfway through making the making his coat hook. The same project a 6-year old boy did. But the 6-year old boy's like an outdoors boy. You know, he's like, he's doing stuff. He's active. The 12-year old boy, I never met him before. I don't know who the family was. But he's like, he kind of wanted to give up halfway through. And I'm like, dude, really? You're tired? I go, that 6-year old kid over there. And he's like, oh, he's 6. I'm like, he's half your size. You know, the Warner was already gone. And so the 12-year old boy's like, oh, okay, I can do this. And then I kind of had to just convince him not to. He's like, "I think I'm okay." I'm like, we can't hang this hook on the wall yet. It's useless. It's only 3/4 of the way built. Let's go." So like he's like, "Oh, my arm's never been so sore." And he swinging a hammer
it
for
probably
15
hadn't
minutes. Right.
Okay. Okay.
He definitely didn't know how to swing a hammer. That was like the first 5 minutes of the thing.
I see.
So, but all the like 3, 4, and 5 year olds who were banging screws and nails into the boards, they learned how to swing a hammer. The kid was like, his mother came back. He's like, "Thank you for convincing my son to get his job done." You know,
great.
He was very happy with
nice. Got the follow through on that one. All right, there's more coming up here. Jay Noon's Man Camp. You can share your thoughts on whatever's on your mind. We'll get a chance to talk about felons and guns in the United States as well. It's Free Talk Live.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USA News Update. The U.S. and Russia are in talks about a possible prisoner swap involving a Wall Street Journal reporter. That's according to a Kremlin spokesperson who also noted that talks
must be carried out and continue in complete silence. Evan Gershkovich is accused of spying by Russia. Beachgoers in New York keeping their eyes on the water this July 4th after a shark attack on a young swimmer.
Monday at Robert Moses State Beach, a 15-year-old girl suffered some wounds to her leg after she was bitten.
A shark attack at the lifeguard station.
A few hours later, about 7 miles away on Kismet Beach, a 15-year-old boy who was surfing was bitten by a shark on his left foot. Meantime, Tuesday morning, there was a shark sighting on Robert Moses State Beach Field number 4, and people were asked to get out of the water. Lisa G., New York.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And it's Ian J. and Mark joining you here tonight.
What's the lady from the spring?
I don't know what Mark's doing over there. Sounds like somebody's talking. That's not Mark. You should just turn him down for a moment. The number is 603-283-6160. Mark is joining us all the way from down in Costa Rica. Mark, are you with us?
Yeah, we were trying to get the internet back here. Terrible.
Oh, okay,
sorry.
Good. Well, it seems like you're okay. So glad to have you.
I don't know what you're going to do. It's like wishing. We were wishing hard the internet would come back.
Here you are. We were talking with Jay Noon. He's given us a recap of the Man Camp experience at this year's Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's something that you started up a few years back, maybe even several years ago. Jay, do you remember what year it was that Man Camp premiered?
I did it 2019.
2019, and that was at the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yes.
Did you do it the year after, and then you took a couple years off, or no, it was just a one-off?
Okay. Well, so we had Cypress a year after.
Okay.
And the 2019 thing was just like, it was a big financial hit. I spent, I think on 2019, like, you know, it was something like $3,400 worth of costs going into it, you know, including the site, the equipment. I brought too much equipment. I bought a bunch of stuff. And you've got to understand, it takes me like a whole week to just put this together before I even go there. Like, you know, when I say a whole week, you know, maybe 60 hours of my time.
And that's money you would normally, or time you would normally be spending working for other people doing other things.
So I was like, all right, I can't do that. I wasn't interested in doing that. You know, we had, you know, Cypress was 4 months old, and now Cypress is 3, and, you know, my son is almost 2, and, like, you know, I had arranged for a babysitter, so because we had the babysitter, we were able to do, you know, I was able to do this in limited hours a day. And, but it, really everything comes down to dollars. But, so, and then I you know, we also had, the next year we had all the, you know, the pork that we had raised. Mm-hmm. So I sold a bunch of that. And that turned, and that's actually the most lucrative thing you can do is cook food at Pork Fest, because
there's a lot of competition.
Actually, this year there was a lot of competition, so mm-hmm. I sold, you know, I brought frozen beef and I brought a bunch of Bardo Farm pork products to sell, and I only think I sold $800 worth of meat.
But you weren't cooking it; you were just selling it.
Yeah, that was all just frozen. Mm-hmm. So a whole bunch of campers bought hamburger patties off me, and okay. you know, ground beef and sausage links, and then Autonomy Unlimited. I think it's autonomyunlimited.com. They have a bunch of their autonomy graduates and students. Which that's a really awesome course with the, what Autonomy's doing. But anyways, Autonomy Cafe, they had set up there, so they bought a bunch of beef and patties off.
Right, okay, that's cool.
And but they only bought like, you know, $350 worth of, you know, beef patties that mm-hmm. they had you know, sold. They had bought some steaks and some other pork cuts off of Bardo Farm they had sold. But there was a lot of people cooking. Mm-hmm. But there was a whole bunch of people. There was a whole bunch of people that wanted to, you know, fill their coolers and leave. And half of them, you know, never made it to me. I stayed there till, you know, Monday. But a handful of people did. They filled up their coolers with, you know, meat from me, and you know, before they left, yeah. which was cool. But it wasn't bad, because I just put a chest freezer in my trailer. When I get up to Rogers, I plug it in, you know, and then just it's a two-hour okay. drive. So it isn't like I went up there with coolers and everything's defrosted.
Yeah,
you
know,
like
it kept it cold.
Yeah, they will keep it cold. So that was that was all good, and but I put a lot of time and effort into it, and basically it was like I you know did 3+ weeks worth of work, you know, essentially just you know for not getting paid.
Oh yeah, I mean it's hard. Even though there's you know 2,000 people there and everybody appreciates the work,
yep.
it's you know activism is something that you do because of that psychic income. Yep. You do because you love it, because you are making a difference. It would be nice if you could actually make money at it, but man, it is hard to do.
I now that we definitely got some interest with some other people involved. There's another freedom event that they approached me mm-hmm. about doing this, and it'll be August till I know more about that, if that's going to happen and how it's going
to
happen. So
I want you to take Man Camp on the road.
Yes.
Nice.
Yep. So because
well, it'd be great if someone could actually sponsor the whole thing
right.
and pay for the whole thing.
Yep. And for example, like. You know, Mark Warden, Porcupine Real Estate, sends me a text
That's
message,
right.
You know, a week before Pork Fest. He's like, "Hey, I want to send you some money to be a to sponsor Man Camp."
Oh, nice.
And he just sent me some money. It wasn't the biggest donation, but it was certainly in the top 10, and mm-hmm. it didn't quite cover the babysitting bill. but still, it was nice, and
he was your only sponsor, right?
Well, not yes. Basically, at Pork Fest, for Pork Fest, he was the only sponsor. And then we had, you know, so one guy, an anonymous donator, you know, donated us a $2,500 Bitcoin.
It's amazing,
which was really handy. And then a few, I think so on the, crypto, donations, I think it was like $2,750,
So the majority of the donations was crypto.
Right, right. Yeah. If you went by the day that they were donated, but like when I was actually buying some of the things, turning that crypto into like Amazon gift cards, for mm-hmm. example, to buy supplies, you know, the crypto was down like 12 or 15%, you know, so it's kind of the way it
now
went.
Now it's back up.
Yeah, now it's, you know, like if I look at a $2,500 donation, it's close to a $3,000, you know, value.
Too late, but
today's.
Yeah.
But when I spent, you know, $1,200 or $1,400 of it on things, it was, you know, it was like a $2,100, you know, value when I had to spend it. But, you know, that's what happens sometimes.
By the way, since you mentioned Mark Warden, we should point out he does do Porcupine Real Estate, and that is a great organization to get you connected with real estate here in New Hampshire.
Yep.
If you're considering making the move up here, whether you've been to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, or whether you've checked it out, been, you know, taken the time to visit New Hampshire yet, you can get in touch with the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate, and they will invite you to some webinars. They've got multiple topics they're going to be focusing on here, and they've been doing. In fact, you can go to their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. You can watch the previous webinars that they've had there and get a feel for what they've been covering. But they're including gun freedoms, medical freedoms, political freedom victories. They've got presentations about best practices on moving to New Hampshire and best practices on finding housing. You can sign up for these upcoming webinars by going to move.freetalklive.com. They're free to attend. You just have to go and get registered. Just move.freetalklive.com. Go to that site. That takes you over to the Porcupine Real Estate website, and that's where you can get signed up. These guys know their business. They know real estate. They know New Hampshire. I think they're almost all free staters there at Porcupine Real Estate. They know the community. They know some of the cool stuff that's happening up here, and they'll be able to answer a lot of your questions on these webinars. So drop on into move.freetalklive.com to get signed up for those upcoming webinars. Do you have any other Man Camp stories, Jay, that you want to share?
Yeah, so and just to say, Mark Warden of Porcupine Real Estate and Porcupine Real Estate in general, they've always been so supportive to, like, a lot of just good stuff happening here in New Hampshire. And they're bringing quality people to New Hampshire. I've met a lot of people that have bought homes. My sister bought her house through those guys. She's very happy with the deal. They're good. So there was some parents that did Man Camp 5 or kids that did Man Camp 5 years ago. They weren't here, but a couple of their parents, like one guy, he just came up to me and handed me $100 bill. He's like, my kids aren't even here. They did this. This really helped, you know, them so much. I love what you're doing. I wish I could give you more, but here you go.
Oh, that's cool.
That was a nice feeling. Yeah. And the thing is it's a lot of prep work. It's a lot of equipment. It's a lot of time. And, you know, working one-on-one with, like, a six-year-old mm-hmm. for an hour to, like, make a coat hook or make two coat hooks, as a mechanic at home, I get $125 an hour for that. And, you know, that, you know, a lot of, and we didn't charge anybody there. If somebody wanted to donate something, they could. You know,
that's nice.
And yeah, so it's fun. And, the confidence building is huge. And, you know,
it would have been interesting if the kids that went 5 years ago had come back and you could kind of see how they'd changed in the last 5 years. And, you know, maybe they'd be able to comment on how Man Camp helped them in their lives. I mean, I don't know. It would be interesting to kind of have a Man Camp follow-up. You know?
That's a good idea because I know who a few of those are. There was two kids there. There was one of them, I believe, is 18, Macy, and Colby is 20, and they did it 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. So you did have.
Well, they didn't come do Man Camp again.
They just stopped by.
They just stopped by. They said, hi, that's this is nice. Cool. This is fun. You know, glad you're doing this. And
nice.
And they were kind of, just more having a good time on their own, you know, mm-hmm. just enjoying it. But also even, like the boy Colby, he's like, oh, I don't even have any pants. All I got is flip flops and shorts, you know, example. on my website, jaynoone.com.
It's jaynoone.com.
I will be, working on updating that, soon to, prepare for fundraising for the next Man Camp event.
Okay.
If you still wanted to give those,
not too late.
Those QR codes are up there.
Okay, cool.
I gotta definitely do a lot of extra work to make up for not, you know, earning any money for a couple weeks, for sure. But anyways, it was a good experience. I learned a lot, and I'm getting better at this. And I'm going to. What I really want to do is I want to do this weekly at my house. This week I'm going to build a little setup so I can just leave my forge and anvil kind of all set up outside, but mm-hmm. so it's not getting directly rained on, and then I can just fire it up and just do it. And, so I'm going to start by, just charging like an hourly rate for like, just to come do it and
That's
see
fair.
What happens.
Yeah. You gotta make something.
And I also have a deal with, tomorrow I got a kid coming, a 14-year-old, and him and I are going to build some, gates. Some loading gates for moving hogs back and forth mm-hmm. That we can back the trailer up to and, you know, put them into their pens, nice gates. And we're going to use the forge, the anvil, and the welder. and the 14-year-old kid really wants to weld. And he's been working at Bardo Farm, and he wants to level up his game. So he's going to come tomorrow, and we'll see what happens.
Very cool. All right. Mark, any questions for Jay? You've been kind of sitting out there quietly.
Well, I can only say as a father, I wish my son was doing this particular activity. But then again, I guess I wish I should be doing it. I should be doing it too.
Mm. That's a thing. So the campfire cooker set that we make, so you can make either a tripod thing to like hang like a Dutch oven from, or it can be made as like a spit. You put these two things into the ground, and you have a bar going across, and you can hang hooks off it. And you could actually take like a 60-pound pig and put it around the spit and wire it on there and cook it, or you can do it with chickens. We've done it with chickens. Like Silver Dave did his, and Luke Radowski a couple years ago in 2020, we did the survival apocalypse training, and that's what we did. We everybody caught a chicken, and then they killed the chicken. You know, they came and did this survival apocalypse training, and they skinned it, and then they cooked it on a spit over a campfire.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the deals. So anyways, you can make a campfire cooker set, which is a really good family thing to do. And I really encourage dads and moms to get in there and just do the hammering on these projects, because you take a 6-year-old kid who hasn't swung a hammer much, it wears them out quick. I mean, I watched a 12-year-old get worn out real quick. And then like the one 7-year-old kid, him and his dad did it, and it went really fast, because, you know, dad, you know, an adult can hammer quite well, can bang iron good versus a kid. And when that kind of like working with dad and presenting that, and that just helps their relationship, makes that bond stronger. And even the one mom who participated with her kid, you know, you could tell that definitely some neurons had to fire in both of their brains, to make it all happen. So, and which is good. That's what we want. We want to exercise the brain and exercise the confidence.
New experience, for sure. You mentioned Silver Dave. He's somebody we've had on the show from time to time as a guest or a guest co-host. He used to do this really fancy cooking at Pork Fest and Fork Fest, where he would announce in advance like what the meal was going to be, and it would be like lemon crusted fish, you know, salmon freshly purchased from the market with like fancy veggies and everything. Like, it'd be a $25 plate, but it'd be the best damn food on the campground.
$40 plate now.
Is he even doing it now? Because it looked like he was doing all Silver Dave silver stuff.
Only silver.
Year. Yeah.
So he's got his silver line is Heavy Metal Construction and localsilvermint.com, I think, is where you find him.
These were the years where he was sort of out of the silver game, and he was doing custom cooking for people. And I had to tell Bonnie, I was like, man, it's a shame Silver Dave isn't cooking this year, because he was the best on the whole campground. But glad to see he was doing something else.
Last year, when he did all the cooking, he's like, you know, the week after Pork Fest is Dave was just inviting all of his friends over to the domes and cooking them up filet mignons and lemon crusted sahi something tuna or whatever. And we were just having gourmet meals almost every other night, you know, because he had all this leftover stuff. So,
he must not have done well, because the years he was cooking previous to that, he would sell out every single night.
Yeah, he didn't sell out last year.
Wow.
And so it was the Autonomy Cafe kind of did the gourmet cooking. So they did lobster tail, and they did steak, and they did some kind of
fish. I'm glad someone filled in the gaps.
They filled in the gaps. But there was a lot of food there, and a lot of families brought food because, you bring, like, you know, you, your wife, and three kids to Pork Fest.
It's going to add up.
You could burn $200 a day just in food. Or you can spend, you know, $300 at the grocery store and, you know, feed yourself, you know, for the entire week.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, for me, going to that event, as someone without a family, part of the fun is going around to the different food vendors and seeing what all's out there. And Bonnie and I were able to come up for 2 days of Pork Fest this year. We also went up for 1 day of Fork Fest, which is the decentralized alternative festival that happens prior to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And there's been actually a lot of talk. I mean, every year after Pork Fest is done, the Fork Festers are always talking about, like, all right, well, what do we do next year? And it seems like there's a larger interest in Fork Fest in 2024, at least right now. Hopefully it'll that will continue on. Folks like Taryn Lupo, you mentioned earlier, who's a very well-known chiropractor within the community and a content producer as well. He says he wants to zero in on ForkFest and like go and actually invite some of the people that used to come to the Porcupine Freedom Festival all the time, and they just haven't been for years, and try to like reach out to them directly. People like some of our former co-hosts, like Sam Dodson and people like that, and say, hey, you know, come on back. Come up to ForkFest. Like, if you still don't want to go to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, we want to try to get more people to go to ForkFest. So I'm glad that there's so much renewed interest. I guess it was due to some of the controversies. I mean, there's always ForkFest always has its controversies. People always have disagreements. There's always disagreements with the organizers and such. So maybe we will see more people going to ForkFest next year. I hope.
I wouldn't want to be an organizer for Pork Fest. I used to
organize wouldn't either.
Truck pulls and stuff, and oh man, that's a lot
of
work.
It's a thankless job in a lot of ways.
It is, and you do all this work, and then all of a sudden, all that work you've done doesn't count right now because somebody said no, you know,
or somebody's mad about something,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, right. It's difficult.
Yeah, and we talked to Dennis, who was the main organizer of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, on the air on Free Talk Live, and I said, you know, you could try to decentralize this thing even further. You know, you could, for instance, just let the market decide on who's going to rent the pavilion, right? Yep. It doesn't have to be the Free State Project that rents the pavilion and decides on who speaks. Somebody else could do that. It could be Jeffrey Tucker's Brownstone Institute. It could be, you know, Reason Magazine. It could be anybody that wanted to put $1,000 a day up. I think that's what Rogers charges for it. And then, you know, let the market decide what should be there.
What I'd kind of like to do for, hopefully for Man Camp next year is like, you know, like maybe someone could sponsor the anvil. You know, somebody could sponsor the forge. You know, somebody could like sponsor the hammer. And another thing, or sponsor tools, or just sponsor the tent, or sponsor the site, or you know, whatever. And these are just some ideas that some people are giving me because you know, I'm not really good at asking for money. You know, there's a lot of different ways to ask for money, and so that would certainly help. You know, you have I don't know, it could be the, you know, the
Porcupine Real Estate?
Yeah, Porcupine, or Forge, or Anvil, or whatever.
Yeah,
and
that could work.
And the other thing I wanted, so what I did do is I actually sent one family home with all the blacksmithing equipment they need. And one thing that's really cool, we use it a little bit at Porkfest, is I have an induction heater. So you can heat metal with this electric induction heater. And it's actually, I use it at home quite a bit. So I sent a guy home, Richard Grove, actually, of Autonomy. Unlimited. I sent him home with basically a vise that could also be an anvil. I sent him home with some stock. I sent, you know, metal stock to bend up for him and his son. And I sent him home with my induction forge so he could just plug it into his wall, you know, in his garage, and they could do this. No fire, no flame. It's a 110-volt induction heating tool. If anybody wants to look that up, they're really awesome. And I sent them some tools to do it, and some protective gear. They got safety glasses, gloves, and an apron. Another thing I'd like to do next year is have basically raffle off an entire blacksmithing set. So you would get like an anvil, tongs, tools, maybe an induction forge. I call it an induction forge, but the induction heating tool. And that's cheap. It's like $130 one I have. Or maybe we'll do a propane forge. But, like, you could use this induction tool if you lived in a homeowners association place. You probably couldn't light a forge in your garage or out in the driveway. The neighbors might not like you tinging on an anvil. But, like, if the neighbors, you know, see kids learning skills and building their confidence and they're going to actually grow up to be, you know, productive, you know, people, they might like it.
Yeah, I like the raffle idea. Like a cool idea.
Well, you know, Ademo and Freeman and Pete Air, you know, they raffled off their RV, you know, years ago.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yep. And then Silver Dave and Ademo raffled off some rifles years ago.
That's another one we were talking about bringing Ademo back because it's been too long since he's been up here as well. There's a lot of people that kind of made their way through New Hampshire, their path, their activism or whatever, brought them here. They kind of cut their teeth for a few years here in the activism, and then their path brought them out of New Hampshire. And it sure would be great to see some of those people again.
Yeah, yeah. We've been sort of courting Adamo, trying to incentivize him to get back here. I know Dave has been trying to get him, Silver Dave's been trying to get him back because Adamo's a pretty skilled guy, and you know, sure, a lot of people like him, and Dave really likes him. I like him.
I think he's just working an office job.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a manager at some cubicle office or whatever. It's like, what? How did that happen?
I don't know. He's making money. You know, good for him.
I suspect that if Dave can hire him away, then he'll come work for him.
Yeah, we'll see. He's been working on it for a while.
I'm excited to see what might happen next year for ForkFest, because there seems like there's a lot of interest in it. As usual, the ForkFesters are talking about, well, you know, when should it be next year? Because ForkFest is a completely decentralized festival. I mean, no one really gets to decide these things. There's not some organizer who says, these shall be the dates for ForkFest, right? It doesn't come down from on high. It just sort of comes out of a community discussion. So as always, there's some people that say it should be after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is the way it was 3 years previous. Some people say, no, it should be before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is the way it originally was for a few years, and that's how it was this year.
I think with Matt and Nikki's wedding, just like my wedding, it was really nice that it was before the festival.
Yours was before, yeah, that's right.
And ForkFest was before the festival, I believe, at my wedding also. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was. And so that's nice that there's more of that overlap, especially for, like, you know, Matt and Nikki's wedding, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was a nice wedding.
My kids had a great time. We had a great time, you know, and very happy for Matt and Nikki.
Did you show up that day, or were you there a day prior to that?
We got there a day before.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So.
Yeah, I think that the half-week thing worked better for ForkFest this year than trying to do a full week and then have people stay for another week of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's a little bit more of an easier ask for people to show up. Just, hey, show up the weekend before and hang out, and you know, you don't have to buy a ticket to anything. Just enjoy people.
Definitely, the whole thing was a lot for me and my family, because we were at the campground for 12 days mm-hmm. or 11 days, I guess, and then we went home for one day. And then we had to go, we hung out in a timeshare with my father-in-law for a couple of days at Weir's Beach. And then we had to go this last weekend down to Massachusetts for a couple of nights. So, like, you know, we basically had, you know, over 2 weeks of just not being home, you know, and just running around with kids.
A little exhausting.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Check him out over at jaynoone.com. That's his website, JAYNOONE.com. And we are out of time for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow, and you can join us online between now and then. Don't forget, we do have our own social media platform. You can go to social.freetalklive.com, and you can get connected with the other Free Talk Live listeners and some of the hosts there. And you don't have the same rules and restrictions that you do on places like Twitter and Facebook and whatever this new Facebook-launched Twitter competitor is going to be. Just check ours out, social.freetalklive.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.